all comes back to colonialism, maybe.
Or they're actually fighting crime, which is probably what they're most likely doing.
Many people don't like doing that with themselves or publicly, but it's okay. This is the People's Countryside Environmental Debate Podcast, and today we're going to be talking about world maps and how they're designed. It all comes back to colonialism, maybe. I'm Stuart the Wild Man Mabbott, and I write about nature, I talk about nature, I lead walks in nature. I just make nature part of people's daily life in the hope they all want to protect it. Who is the co-host?
I'm Stuart the Wild Man Mabbott. I'm William Mankelow. Thanks very much for being with us. Everybody who listens to this podcast, anybody who, whenever you're listening to it, you might be listening to this 2 years after it's released or even a second after the release date. Thank you very much for tuning in.
And that police car going by might be listening to it as well, you know.
Yeah, they're desperate to get home to listen to the next episode. That's really what they're doing there, Stuart. Or they're actually fighting crime, which is probably what they're most likely doing. I'm that you know who I am. I take photographs. I fly a drone. I talk in front of people. I talk in front of behind a microphone. Yeah. Like I said, Stuart, we've got a question from Debs and Didcot today. And Debs, this is not your first question, is it?
No, and we like to deal in certainties, but life is full of insecurities and lack of knowledge, and it's okay not to know. And we try and showcase that in when we don't know something, we admit to it. And many people don't like doing that with themselves or publicly, but it's okay.
Before we go into the question, though, I've got a question to ask you, as in you, not as in Stuart, but the listener. How often do you go out and buy yourself a cup of coffee from, well, you know, think about which chain you normally go to. Do you go to a Costa or a Starbucks or your local independent? Not judging, go wherever you want to do. But did you know for as little as a cup of coffee, little as the price of that cup of coffee, you can back this podcast, back this project via Patreon? What is Patreon, Stuart?
Patreon is a website that you can go on and you can donate on a one-off basis or on an ongoing basis, support our work, and you will get some exclusive material for as long as you've subscribed. And it's many people, you know, do that without wanting the rewards. They just want to see the project go on. But we like to give something.
But if you were just altruistic and altruistic that you wanted just to give us a bit of cash every month. Your perks are there as long as you're a patron. They're always accessible, and there's lots of perks to it.
Well, we've done about 250 or so.
There's historically lots of perks. If you join now, you've got a plethora of things to look back at.
Exactly. And we like to show break down the big issues into bite-sized chunks, and we like to try and come up with actions that deal with or address what the listeners are raising in the questions they want us to discuss. And today's listener question comes from Debs and Didcot in Oxfordshire. It's a short question, very interesting one. What is it, William?
A question is from Debs is, most world maps have the UK at the centre. Is this because of the time zones or a subtle link back to our colonial pasts?
Well,
it depends on where you get the map from. That was one thing I'll say straight off the bat is wherever you buy the map, the first map you'll see is the map of the country you're in. Every world map will have, if you have a German map, it'll be Germany. If you had an American map, US map, it will be the US. I was in Finland recently, and the first map you come across is, guess what? Finland, right?
Well, how do you mean? I mean, because so when
what is at the centre?
When you have these pull-out maps.
Yes, but it's the whole idea of most world maps have UK at the centre. The world map. I'm thinking about it from a different perspective than obviously.
Yeah, well, when you not a globe, not a globe. When you have the circular one, you see the planet.
So a world map.
Yeah, so it's when you pull it right the way out on one sheet of paper. Now, time zones are the key to that, because the sun rises in China. Land of the rising sun, and it sets over on the other side. But those time zones were set as a part of UK colonial times in a way.
Kind of, yeah, but I think it's a more nuanced history than just being colonial history.
Yeah.
We are a seafaring nation, and we actually built clocks as well, very good clocks. And it was just decided, not just from a British point of view, because everybody else has adopted the system, you know, it's before or Greenwich, before or after Greenwich Mean Time.
Yeah.
That's how times were decided. A lot of these, and also, as I understand it, if my memory serves me correctly, the reason why time zones were brought in the first place is there was huge issues when it came to, well, before we started moving around quickly, and I mean just on horse, on foot, time zones didn't really mean much. Time didn't really mean much. You didn't really need to know what the time was in London. You didn't really need to know what time was in another part of the world. It took you a long time to get anywhere. But as soon as the railways turned up, where we actually started moving at a reasonable speed, to begin with, they actually had different timetables across the country, because what you have to remember is that if I'm stood here in Oxford, we're west of London, west of GMT, the actual midday noon isn't actually our literal noon. So noon actually is when the sun is at the highest point in the sky.
Yeah.
But actually our noon would be slightly later.
Yeah.
Slightly later, because we're slightly west of London. Wouldn't be that significantly much later, but it would be later.
But
the actual standard time zones came in, so it actually meant that a whole area would have the same time, and therefore it was much easier to meet people, to set up
rendezvous
meetings.
Work. But isn't that a result of colonialism, though? Because we had these transports, we set up the technology, we did the research, we had the slaves from the other parts of the world helping us do all this. Isn't that still colonialism, though? But it does feel to me as it was a consequence of us leading the world.
Yeah, well, we led the world also in shipping in particular.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, we led the world. There's a consequence of that. If say, for example, Bangladesh had done what we'd done, would that be at the centre?
Well, yeah, of course it would be, because that's just where you could almost say that the UK and England at the time was the world leader in that area.
I'd say it's a consequence of, just look at that. Most maps have the UK at the centre. Is this because the time zones, or a subtle link back to colonial past? I think it's a subtle link back. At the time, it maybe was less subtle. But I do wonder if there is space to, wherever you are in the world, say you're in Fiji and you buy a world map and you open it up, I can't see why Fiji couldn't be at the centre and the time zones are still there. It's just...
I imagine it's easy. The thing is, maps are quite detailed things as well. So actually to create a map that's completely centric to the area that you live in or you're from is actually quite challenging, and also time and cost, you know.
But if we're all using the same universal map, but there is this subtle thing. You are right, Debs.
The other point
subtle thing that we are the centre of the world.
Yeah, the other point to make, of course, is that that we're always at the top of the map as well. That north is always the top of the map, and south is always north is up, south is down. East is right and west is east. West is left, right?
Yep.
But that again is just that's just how the maps were created. I think with maps in particular, there is a colonial past that we are very north centric when it comes to maps. But if you were to think about from a point of view of a visiting alien to this planet, right? We often think, you know, if you watch any science fiction program or any alien invasion movie, you know, you will notice that the Earth is always the same way up, right? But space is not two-dimensional.
Yeah.
Space is three-dimensional. So that alien could come at us from any angle.
Yeah.
And actually, underneath. If you watch the planet... for any period of time, you would actually notice that most planets spin on an axis.
Yeah.
But they could easily be the other way around. So when you say underneath, that's you're seeing it from a point of view of what we always see: north is top, south is bottom. Yeah. But easily, that it can be the other way around.
Yeah.
South could be top and north could be bottom. It's just
it's
just a matter of perspective, and that comes from maps, and that does maybe come from colonialism. You have to remember that a vast majority of the human population does live in the north. There's a higher percentage of people living in the north than they do in the south.
Yeah.
In fact, there's a I think it's the eighth of 7th or 8th of August every year that it said that 99% of the human population is in some form of daylight because of just how much we are in the Northern Hemisphere.
Yeah.
Just as an example.
Yeah, it's another interesting question, and I'd not thought about that. If you approach the Earth from what we consider below, you know, what's east to that person coming or alien coming from there, it is different from the way we look. Because when you see films, science fiction films, the aliens or the asteroid is always coming from the east.
Yes.
That's an interesting one.
Yeah.
Anyway, that messes with your brain. If you want to really mess with your brain, try and take some codeine first and then listen to this question and that will really twist you up.
The other thing I would say
I'm not advising take codeine unless you're prescribed it.
Yeah, neither of us are experts when it comes to any sort of pharmaceutical, Stuart, no, I would say.
I'm not experts. I know how it feels. Though.
Say with all the modern maps we now have, you know, Google Maps is a great example. I mean, one thing you can easily do on your phone, which is quite an interesting, sort of like a thing you can do with it, you can actually flip the map upside down. You can turn it around and make south, north, and then look at what your country looks like.
Yeah.
You're so familiar with what something looks like in the same one, in one orientation, actually flip upside down and just to see what the world looks like. Because sometimes I think to myself, I go to Southampton quite a lot, and I think that going south is actually quicker than going north, which is a load of nonsense because it's just psychological. Because I'm thinking, oh, now, so because we're going south, we're going down, but we're not. Yeah. We're just going along.
Yeah. So the action from this, for me, is just, just look at your perspective. On bringing it back to environmental issues, just look at the perspective. Look at the perspective. Try and explore the perspective of somebody who's got a different opinion to you.
Yeah.
Just explore perspectives. You won't come to a conclusion, but you might come to a realization that it's so complex, and environmental issues is a complex web. And don't be scared off by that, but the realization that the challenge in front of us to keep this planet sustainable for human life is a big challenge. We're up to it. We may be slightly too late in some areas, but we're up to the challenge, and we can survive. So
we are in a very adaptive species. Mm. That's in some ways actually that scares me the most, because we are so adaptive. We can be adaptive to the point of killing everything else on the planet.
Yeah. Anyway, that's been another question from Debs. It's been another episode of the People's Countryside Environmental Debate Podcast. It's another episode with me, Stuart the Wild Man, Mabba, and him.
Me, William Manclow, and another step towards our 500th episode.